Vacationland Theme Park Podcast is brought to you by Magical Vacation Planner by Caris for help planning your next vacation getaway for any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Alani, Universal Studios Orlando and Royal Caribbean, and now Universal Studios Hollywood, Princess Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Caris on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/CarisMilano. The Vacationland Theme Park Podcast is also brought to you by Dr. Skippers on Etsy for all your Jungle Hut-related needs. Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, the brush fire prompts the evacuation of a Southern California theme park, a long-running attraction is closed at Knott's Berry Farm, possibly for good, and move over Star Wars, the Avengers have filed their construction permits and are moving in across the Esplanade. And a little bit later on, what changes are already planned for Galaxy's Edge, and I'll give my first impressions of the Black Spire Outpost. Bright suns, everyone, this is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 35 for the week of June 17th, 2019. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts, my name is Chris Ramirez and I'm the host and executive producer of the show. Today, I am joined by our associate producer, Brandis Strotman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Knott's Berry Farm reporter and permanent John Strotman.
Hello.
Singer, actor, director, and our roving road trip reporter, Diane Hobday. Welcome back, Diane.
Good morning.
All right. It's really good to see everyone. We are recording this on Father's Day. We're going to be releasing this on our usual Wednesday schedule, but I just want to let John know, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in today. And Diane, thanks for coming in. Diane came in at the last minute. It was a really busy week at work for me this week, so I really kind of got to Wednesday and went, oh, I haven't booked the show. So I called Diane, and Diane also has other family plans for Father's Day. Dan's not a father, but she does have one. So she's going to be there. Then she fortunately very kindly agreed to join in on us. And we always love when you're here. So, all right. So welcome back, everyone. I just want to remind everyone that this is going to be our last show before we take kind of our modified summer break. We're going to be going to a once a month schedule now until September. So in July, we're going to release one show, and then we'll release another show in August. I'll probably do a little supplement, maybe a little solo show for D23 for all the information coming out of D23. So that's going to be going on there. Anything else going on, you guys? What's everybody ready for summer?
Yeah, ready for summer.
Yeah.
Not having any kids in school or not.
Yeah,
in school
it really
kind
of ruins that.
Kind of like, yeah, the summer thing isn't really a thing. It's just yeah.
I have kids in school and I work at a school, so it's summer vacation for me.
I work in school, but I work 12 months out of the year, so I don't get those 2 months off. But I'm ready for a little downtime around here and some quiet hallways. So that'll be really exciting.
Nice.
My phone is causing interference in here. I don't know what it is. Anyways, that's fine. We're good. You don't need to know.
Put my phone
down. Yeah, nobody needs to know that.
It's you.
We checked all the connections, and it's just maybe it's me. I don't know. All right, behind the scenes, nobody needs to know that. We're just experiencing some sweet interference, and I don't know what it was, and I think I found what it was. So, apologies if you are hearing that throughout the show, but we're gonna move on. I work in a school. I've worked 12 months. I'm ready for downtime. I'm ready for summer. And a little bit later on, we're going to talk about kind of what we're ready for and excited about in terms of the theme parks over the summer. But for now, if there are no other objections, any old news, we're going to get to our corrections and retractions from our later on from our live video that we did at Galaxy's Edge. And Dan has something to say about that, but we'll get to that later. So, all right. Well, if there are no other objections, we are going to move on. It is time for park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour.
Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of LA.
We Welcome, one and all. Y'all come have a ball. Things are very fine riding on the old Knightsbury line.
And of course, Bar Hopping is our news segment, and we don't do a lot of Six Flags stories, but this one made the national news. John, what was going on at Six Flags?
Brush fire sets off evacuation at Six Flags Magic Mountain. A fast-moving brush fire erupted near a huge amusement and water park in Southern California on Sunday, sending hundreds of visitors to the exit to escape clouds of smoke and ash before fire officials asked them to stay put while they worked to contain the blaze. Six Flags Magic Mountain and Hurricane Harbor announced the evacuation shortly after noon, citing concern for the safety of the park visitors and employees. About a half hour later, the park said on its Twitter account that the fire officials asked guests to shelter in place due to nearby road closures. Park visitors were asked to move to the back of the 260-acre property away from the firefighting activity near the entrance, said Rachel Gallett, who was visiting a friend who works at the park. There was a big cloud of smoke, and I saw people around me panicking. They didn't know where they were supposed to go. A Los Angeles County Fire Department dispatcher told the Los Angeles Times to park voluntary evacuation visitors. Los Angeles County fire officials said 9 people were taken to the hospital due to smoke exposure. The blaze is 20% contained. Magic Mountain is located about 40 miles north of Los Angeles. Its twisted roller coasters are a familiar sight to motorists and on Interstate 5. The National Weather Service and temperatures reached 96 degrees at Magic Mountain, with humidity dipping to 10% and winds gusting at 25 miles per hour. The cause of the fire is still under investigation.
There we go. So that was a little scary for the people involved, and the fact that some of the people in the park got
stuck there
and also treated for smoke inhalation. So if you're not familiar with where Six Flags Magic Mountain is here in California, it's about 45 minutes north of civilization in Los Angeles. And it's at one point in time, the history of Six Flags is really interesting. There was the Valencia development, and they've kind of built Magic Mountain, which wasn't a Six Flags park at the time, out there is something to do, because it's in this really hilly sort of exurb of Los Angeles. And so now there's been a lot of development there in the last few years, but it's still very much like hills and wilderness. And you, Brandy, you said you had friends that were
camping over there, and they left right before the fire started. So they, like, it was almost right where they were.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all forests.
And it's hills and forests, and then there's like this giant, you know, theme park in the middle of it. And if you've ever traveled up and down I-5, like, you see the roller coasters and you know, the towers and all the rides and stuff. But it really is kind of in just like a, not a rural area anymore, but just like this sort of outer suburb of Los Angeles. Scary stuff, especially since it seems that like people didn't know where to go or how to be evacuated, and they didn't.
It'd be crazy to be told you can't leave.
Right.
You know,
like, But also the fire department said that they didn't tell them to do that either. So I don't know.
I would think that, though, being in the middle of a theme park during a forest fire would be pretty safe.
Right. You're surrounded. Especially, I mean, we've all been to Six Flags, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it is nothing but cement
out
there. So there's not a lot of trees. There's not a lot of shade. So I would assume that being in second Six Flags, you're relatively safe, unless, of course, like, the smoke blows through.
Yeah, and I don't want to doubt the victims of the smoke inhalation, but pretty much, like, they use that term for any time you're coughing after a fire, just to be on the safe side.
Right, yeah. It's a little...
My sister was actually in a fire. She was sleeping when her bedroom caught on fire, and she was dragged out, like, unconscious.
Oh, wow.
And she had smoke inhalation, but all it was she had a really bad cough for a week, and the toxins from the smoke came out of her pores. But so I think being at Six Flags, that smoke inhalation is...
Right. I mean, and you have to wonder how much smoke... Yeah. You're right. I don't want to doubt the truthfulness of the people that were there, or the fact, you know, that they were, you know, affected by the smoke, but you're in a pretty wide open area. You're just not like you're in a confined room, but, it's scary stuff nonetheless.
I was going to say that probably one of the reasons that the fire department told them to stay put is the road access up there is very limited.
It is.
And so if you've got people evacuating and all their cars leaving all at the same time, the emergency vehicles are not going to have access to the fire.
Yeah, there's literally one road in and one road out.
Exactly. So I think that might have been also a reason why they might have asked them to say, stay put, because we need access to fight this thing. Yeah. And if we need to call in extra people, they're not going to be able to get through.
Yeah. Some of the people that were evacuated from like Hurricane Harbor, which I would assume would be the safest place.
Everybody, wave pool.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm going to be in the lazy river watching it.
Yeah. So, you know, there were reports of people like they didn't even get their stuff out of their lockers. Like they were just leaving in bathing suits and things. So, So scary stuff. But I mean, it seems like everybody's okay. And, you know, I love the wildernessy part of that area, but it's just more and more development is going in. And so, you know, who knows what the future holds for that area. But we're going to move on to our next story. And there's a mystery at Knott's Berry Farm. John, tell us what that mystery is.
Mystery Lodge at Knott's Berry Farm closed indefinitely.
A few minutes ago, something happened. As I was walking outside, I heard something come behind me, and I turned. There was a great large owl. He looked right at me, like he saw through me, and then gone.
Visitors to the Calico River area of Knott's Berry Farm may have one less place to cool off in the summer heat for the foreseeable future, according to the Behind the Thrill blog. On July 11th, visitors noticed the long-open Mystery Lodge special effects show had closed without warning. A response from Knott's Berry Farm to a tweet asking about the show's return date indicates that the park has no plans to bring it back anytime soon. The show itself centers around a nameless elder who is only referred to as the storyteller. He appears, as if magically, from thin air to tell you the story of his life, as well as the traditions of the Native Americans from the Pacific Northwest through the smoke of a dying fire, symbolic for the storyteller's life. The show combines the use of Pepper's ghost smoke effects with live performer who enchants the flames before him and brings the smoke to life to help his story. The most likely scenario is that it was removed from operations due to an unforeseen circumstances or is in need of unexpected repairs, and Knott's just doesn't know how exactly how long the necessary repairs will take to be completed. This is very common in all theme parks and should be considered the most likely of circumstances. It could be closed for refurbishment as it is beloved by fans. Online speculation has fans of the show worried that its closure means that the expansion plans for Ghost Town area means the 10-minute show's removal entirely, which would fall in line with early rumors of major multi-attraction Ghost Town expansion adjacent to the specific area of the park. The rumored expansion is suggested to celebrate Knott's 100th anniversary in 2020 through the new area, though the new area may not be ready until 2021. When Mystery Lodge opened at Knott's Berry Farm in 1994, it became the last attraction to be installed while under family ownership of the Knott's family. We eventually sold Knott's Berry Farm and the world-famous chicken dinner restaurant to Ohio-based Cedar Fair for $245 million in 1997. Mystery Lodge opened at a cost of $10 million that same summer that Universal Studios Hollywood opened its Back to the Future attraction at a cost of $60 million. And Disneyland opened its Indiana Jones attraction at the estimated cost of $100 million.
So that's crazy, like to think that. So when you think of those three rides, right, those three attractions, Mystery Lodge, the Back to the Future ride at Universal Studios, and Indiana Jones, that first of all, A, they opened in the same year.
Yeah.
And only one of those things is still around, by the way.
And it's still my favorite.
Back to the Future?
No.
Indiana Jones.
Or Indiana Jones. I like Mystery Lodge, though.
Mystery Lodge, but Indiana Jones is my favorite ride at Disneyland.
Gotcha. We were just talking about this yesterday with some friends. How like it's still like 20-something, 25 years later. Good.
Yeah. It's a test of time.
Yeah, it's still a great ride. It's still a great experience. But it really becomes like one of these things is not like the other, right?
It's crazy how Mystery Lodge costs so much more.
Well, no. Mystery Lodge costs $10 million.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Back to the Future was $60 million. And Disney doesn't disclose how much they spend on stuff, but the estimate is about $100 million on that attraction. So, and I have another issue with that, with the article that I pulled that from was they describe it as beloved.
You don't like it?
I mean, okay. So I really enjoy it. I think it's a great. I don't know that the world at large enjoys it as much as I do.
I'd hate to see it go away.
Yeah.
I cry every time.
You know, so.
I get teary eyed. Yeah.
So here's the thing is Knott's actually, people don't realize this, supports, gosh, what's the correct term for Native Americans that are also from Canada and indigenous people. Yeah. And I don't know if that shows supports them or is culturally correct. And so that's what I would like to know is how those people feel about that show, because they have their, Indian dancer is an actual American Indian. The show next or the store next to Mystery Lodge sells jewelry made by actual Indians in Mexico, which I mean, I don't think it's right to call them Indians. I don't know. I'm not up on my PC culture.
Indigenous.
Native and then people, there's the bottle house is actually run by Native Americans.
So I haven't been in that store because it used to be that. So, you know, there's the indigenous cultures of the Pacific Northwest. And I think specifically the Mystery Lodge is supposed to be representative of, you're right, Canadian indigenous people. Now, I haven't been in that store next to Mystery Lodge in a very long time. Other than the fact that it's right next to the bathrooms. So you're saying that the stuff sold in that shop is made by like...
Not all of it, but a good chunk. I got a bracelet there that says that like the proceeds go to...
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And I know in the bottle house, I was in there because my weirdo son, all he wanted for Christmas was a rabbit pelt. And that was the only place I could find one. And the guy that runs it was talking with the Indian dancer. And I guess the whole family for the guy that was working there at the time, his whole family works there and brings this stuff there. They made the moccasins that were on sale.
Yeah.
So Knott's really does support these people. So that's what I'd be interested in knowing about that show is it accurate and how do they feel?
So from what I remember, because I remember them, you know, I was 14 at the time, you know, so you're old enough to start, you know, realizing things that are going on. I remember the talk being that they really did consult with indigenous people from Canada and they had like cultural advisors and, you know, it all was very much, you know, they tried to make it as representative. So they didn't want to do like a stereotypical the Indian show. They wanted to do something that was very much culturally representative of, you know, the larger Pacific Northwest Native culture. So from my understanding is that it is fairly accurate in terms of like the mythology and the storytelling and all of that. Now, that being said, I don't know how many people this draws on a daily basis. I do know that during Halloween Haunt, they shut it down, and this is where they distribute the guns for the zombie maze. But what do we think about the fact that, A, there's rumors of a expansion coming to Ghost Town?
So I saw an employee online flat out call people out on that rumor and said, stop spreading rumors. Like, because Knott's, they do announce whenever they have something big going on. They're even just refurbishing the mine ride, they really hype it up before it even starts. And so they're saying Knott's has not said anything. The employees have not heard anything. The employees don't know why it got shut down. And for all we know, because they used to sell these like really nice dresses from like the Old West with the matching bonnets, and they stopped doing that. And I found out from an employee that it was because they only had one person that made those, and she sold them to Knott's, and she's no longer making them. So it's things like that. We don't know. Maybe they lost the license to use the voices, or, you know, maybe the actors can't do it. You know,
right.
We don't know what is going on, but the employee flat out online called people out and said we would know if there was an expansion.
Now, was this employee like, did they seem like they were, you know, up in the decision making area, or was this like the kid that runs, I don't know,
Hammerhead?
Yeah, it's a middle aged woman that is pretty opinionated.
Okay. So, I mean, so obviously this, not obviously, but this person may or may not be in a position to know, and there may be just, you know, herself, just her opinions, and people get very defensive sometimes.
True, but at the same time, Knott's really does hype things up.
They do, yeah. So the rumor is, for those of you that don't know, the rumor is that the entire area behind Ghost Rider, so where the two mazes
where they have the best mazes at Knott's Scary Farm.
The two best mazes at Knott's Scary Farm are on the chopping block. So that whole back area, including like where the bakery and the arcade and that whole area, like that's all on the chopping block, and it's going to be this massive expansion of Ghost Town beyond beyond its current borders now. And so that the steakhouse, all of that's going to be gone. And there's the rumors are that it's going to be like a theme to a fort area because there was something involved in the storyline of
Ghost Town Alive. That's who I heard it from.
That's pretty cool.
I heard it from the storyline might indicate that there is future expansion of a fort.
Right. So fort, I forget what the name of the fort was, but that is the current storyline.
Fort Calico?
Yeah, probably. Because that's everything. But that is the current rumor that the current storyline is an indicator that they're going to be teasing something to open
up. If that is true, that is absolutely genius marketing.
Yes.
Yeah, they've got Knott's has got some pretty solid marketers on their team as of right now. You know, with the whole Calico River expedition thing, and you know they've got some pretty talented people. So I would not put it past them to kind of drop this
like incorporate it Easter egg through that. Yeah.
So it is. And while we're discussing marketing, let's go back to their support of indigenous people. Why aren't they hyping that up more?
I think that gets tricky. I think that that's something that you want to do that like will filter out naturally. I don't know that you want to put that out in the media and then, you know, then it turns into like, oh, well, you're just exploiting. And, you know, I think they just want nothing to do with that. I think they're happy to just do it quietly and let people talk about it, you know, out in the natural
podcasts.
Yeah, podcasts and stuff. And so
let's give Chris's group something to talk about today.
Right. I'm so glad. So glad. Because after Galaxy's Edge opened, I was like, I don't know what we're going to do this week. So, you know, this popped up and I was like, oh, thank God. But, you know, so if it is gone, I'll take a poll around the room. Would we be sad to see Mystery Lodge go? I've been watching this show since I was
I'm sorry. Now. I am still not over the loss of that house. What was
that? Oh, the Mystery Shack.
The Haunted Shack. Yeah. I'm not over that. So, yes, I would be upset. I'm traumatized over the loss of the Mystery Shack.
You can go to the actual town of Calico and see it. It's there.
But that's like an actual trip. Instead of
it's
going
2 hours, yeah, it's not that
literally a half hour, 20 minutes for Brandy to drive down. I missed the mystery. There was the Mystery Shack or the Haunted Shack?
The Haunted Shack.
The Haunted Shack, yeah. I missed that too. That was cheesy.
But it was fun.
Good time.
It just blows your mind when you're a kid.
Yeah.
No matter how
much. It blows
your
mind as an adult. I just saw Calico like in April. And I was like, this is so awesome. I missed this.
All I remember is like the pool part.
The pool, water running up.
Yeah.
Oh, I just remember the chair because I always wanted to get called up for that, but my sister got called up and she still couldn't tell me how it worked. And,
sitting in the chair, not being able to get up, and then the broom standing on its own.
Yeah.
Water running without a pipe.
Brandy hasn't talked to her sister since. That's
such a shame. Yes, but that's for other reasons.
We'll go into that.
So, you know, but I mean, I'd be sad to see it go. I mean, also, I'm kind of the mind that, like, so it's a 25 year old show and it's cool, but.
The fact that a show
has sustained
stood the test of time that way, that's amazing.
From a history standpoint, I would be sad to see the last thing that got put in by the Knott family go away. Like that was like one of the last links to when it was owned by the Knott family. And I remember working there in 1998 when I graduated high school, was just the beginning of the transition from the Knott family to Cedar Fair. There was still a lot of those connections and a lot of people that worked there from the original farm. Also, the fact that Knott's Berry Farm is going to be celebrating its 100th birthday next year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mind-blowing.
Next year, that means they're going to have some great celebrations for us pass holders.
Yes. So,
I want to say, because you were saying how long that show's gone, I think it's 15 years now for Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies, speaking of lasting shows.
That have been at Knott's?
That's what somebody was saying online, and I was surprised. So I want to see if you knew anything
that long for them.
It'd be five years, but
that's what I was going to say because I don't remember hearing about them when I was a kid. But I know like somebody online was
because I can tell you,
and this is why we don't listen to rumors online, people. No, but yeah, there was somebody who was ranting because apparently at one of their shows, because I don't know, they've expanded their show for this summer, and I do want to go see it soon, John. It's at the Wagon
John.
Camp now.
Have they moved to the Wagon Camp?
We'll talk about Summer Nights if you'd like. I've been on
that. Oh, yes, I do want to talk about that. But yeah, so somebody was complaining that somebody was in the audience screaming, "You suck," at them.
No kidding.
And everyone's like, they've been there for 15 years. If they sucked, they wouldn't still be there. They got their fan base. And I'm like, wow, 15 years?
Maybe they've been around. Okay, because Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies.
They used to be at Disneyland.
Yeah, or Billy Hill.
Sorry. Billy Hill and the Hillbillies when they were at Disney.
I figured out that it's been, well, the first time. It's the first time I left Disneyland. I left in 2003. So it's been a significant amount of time. And they were there when I was there. So they haven't been at Knott's for 15 years.
There you go. Yeah. So internet rumors are not
same thing. When I worked there, I worked there till 2006 and they were there.
Yeah, they were still there. So it's only been, I think, in the last like 5 or 6 years that they've been at Knott's after they were booted from Disneyland. But
they were booted from Disneyland?
Yeah.
I don't even know the reason why. I don't know if it was a contract thing or if it was...
There's a whole lot of... There's the contract thing. There's money cutting. They were cutting a lot of live entertainment at that time.
That's true.
And plus, the place that they had finally put them is now like Star Wars. So like it was, they were in that
And they really
corner.
Do fit better in Knott's.
No, they're great. They're fantastic. Yeah. I love... I really enjoy their show. I know they're also kind of silly, cheesy, and funny, but they run a good show. So, you know, So yes, would we miss? Okay, now do we think it's going away based on everything that we've
talked
about? I
don't right now.
Yeah,
and I would miss it.
Yeah, that's one of the things. One of the few things in the theme park world I've never been able to figure out, like how they do that. Because apparently, when it first opened, there were literally two people that knew how to how that show worked, and then they trained like four people. So when I worked there in '98, I knew a girl that worked on that show, and they were all sworn to secrecy. So there's rumors. It's a what you call it, Pepper's Ghost Effect, which is what they use at the Haunted Mansion for the ghosts in the ballroom. So it's like a projection, but it's also like upstairs, and you know, it's one of those great.
Yeah, it's weird.
So maybe it's closed because like those four people died.
Maybe. Or maybe they all quit and nobody knows how to work the show anymore. Yeah.
Or they're on strike and Knott's doesn't want to let them know that four people are, doesn't want us to know four people are on strike.
I know the storyteller. So,
oh, do you?
I do. I'm friends with the storyteller.
Oh, funny. So
maybe I'll find a little something out.
That's friends with everybody.
We'll see.
but literally, like, so, you know, it's one of those, like, state secrets that Knott's has been able to maintain for the last few years. All right. Enough Mystery Lodge talk. Let's figure out what is going on at California Adventure. John?
$14 million Marvel expansion coming to Disney California Adventure in 2020. The Disneyland Resort has moved full steam ahead on building next year's planned expansion, a land at California Adventure Park themed for the superheroes of Marvel comics and movies. The city of Anaheim has approved a handful of building permits for projects such as bathroom overhauls, a retail outlet, a microbrewery, character meet and greet area, plus improvements to behind the scenes buildings, and the construction permits assess the value of the work so far at more than $14 million. One of the permits approved Wednesday allows for a 2,071 square foot merchandise outlet with three attached canopies. For comparison, the average home in the western U.S. is 1,800 square feet, according to census data. Disney, who acquired the Marvel Empire in 2009 for $4 billion, have declined to comment on the permits or what attractions are set to be included in the new land, but it has been suggested that one new addition could include an interactive Spider-Man ride. More details about the land are expected to be released at the Disney celebration known as D23, which is scheduled for August 23rd August 23rd to the 25th at the Anaheim Convention Center. Marvel attractions are also planned to open at Hong Kong Disneyland in 2023, at Walt Disney Studio Parks in Paris in 2020, and at the Epcot Park in Florida in 2021. A Bugs Land, an area of the gigantic theme park which features characters from the 1998 film A Bug's Life, is currently being demolished in order to make way for the new superhero land. Construction on the new section is happening behind a wall at the Adventure Park branched the words Stark Industries, Iron Man's fictional company ran by Iron Man's alter ego, Tony Stark.
So, exciting stuff on the heels of, I know what it says in there, how much did they estimate that they're spending on this?
$14 million.
So, for reference or for comparison, Galaxy's Edge was estimated, again, Disney doesn't release their numbers, but it's estimated to have been a $1 billion expansion. Mm-hmm. So, $14 million, $1 billion. So,
yeah,
you know, and I'm assuming much of that is going to be taken up by the Spider-Man ride that may or may not be coming. You know, that we're thinking about. They didn't call it a ride, right? It calls it an interactive experience.
Let's see, where is it?
I think they call it interactive ride.
Interactive Spider-Man ride.
Okay, interactive. So I'm curious what they're going to, I mean, could it be another mystery lodge where they're spending $10 million?
It's probably going to be like that Forbidden Journey in Universal Studios.
Yeah, well, and in Universal Studios Orlando, there is a Spider-Man ride, an actual Spider-Man ride. So I'm really curious to see what's going up. My favorite part of that story was the bathroom refurbishment. If by refurbishment they mean take a bulldozer to it, because that's what they pretty much did with all of the bathrooms in that. I mean, everything in that land is kind of just construction rubble at this point.
So why would they work on this right now with the crowds for Galaxy's Edge? Because a lot of people are going to go to California Adventure to avoid those crowds.
We did a story about it a few months ago that they were starting. So they've already started the demolition. So this has been in the works for, I mean, years now at this point. So I think that they've known that this was coming. They're just starting to release details, because Bugs Land has been gone for months. It's just, you know, right before the Food and Wine Festival, they were just bulldozing all of it. And if you go back, there's a couple of episodes where we talk about all this. But I have a feeling that they are doing this because Universal Studios has yet to announce that they're going to be expanding the theme park in the lower lot.
Which I saw last week. I did.
Yeah.
They leveled one of the most famous
Soundstage
25.
Yes, so which
was some time ago. They demolished. They closed it. But right now, I just went to Universal a few days ago, and the lower lot, you can see it as you're going down the escalators on the way down. It's completely flattened, and it's just dirt mounds right now.
That was the Phantom of the Opera stage.
It was, yes, and. So I was going to see, they'd taken down the big walls of Jurassic World, and I just went to see, and you really can't see anything. Everything's internal there. But you could definitely tell that it was clearing away for something.
And that is the rumored Nintendo expansion.
Mario Land, whatever they're going to call it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a feeling that they're releasing this kind of ahead of Universal's announcement, and we'll probably see now that Star Wars Land is open, and this has been released, that they're permits have been filed for this new land and what it's going to be. So now we're getting a bigger idea of what it's going to look like. A microbrewery and a ride and shopping. And I mean, it's not a very big footprint where Bugs Land was. It's the area between the main walkway and basically Tower of Terror. But the rumor is that the Hollywood area, and I don't want to get into rumors, but the Hollywood area is going to become a Marvel-centered area. And this is going to be kind of the entrance to that.
It's kind of bleeding in, isn't it?
Yeah, it all is. So as to why they would release this, I think they're getting ahead of Universal Studios, and we're going to see an announcement for Universal Studios in the next 6 months or so. And then we're going to see, I think, an even bigger announcement at D23, which the parks panel has been moved. Parks panel used to be on Saturday. The parks panel is now on Sunday. So I may try to get to that just for the one day, because my wife is doing a signing on Saturday at D23. So, but the Sunday, I'm going to try to get to I'm going to try and get to the parks panel, because there's some other stuff that's coming up in the parks that's also rumored that I won't get into right now, but there's some stuff for Disneyland that's been rumored in terms of Tomorrowland, now this Marvel thing. So I think we're going to see a lot of big announcements at D23. So is this something we're excited for? Do we care that they're building a Marvel area? Do we miss Bugs?
Zero interest.
Okay, that's fair. John?
I mean, a Spider-Man ride, or I don't know, it sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it sounds cool. I'm not a huge Marvel person.
Yeah.
But I'd check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, interactive experience.
Yeah, interactive ride. I don't know what that means. I'm really curious.
Does it mean, like, you think, like, it'll be, like, Soarin', kind of, like, where it's, like, you're just, there's a screen?
Well, like I said, it's not a huge footprint in that area. It's not a lot of land. So I have to imagine that it's going to have something to do with virtual reality or a screen or like something like, God forbid, something like they did over at Hollywood Studios in Florida, where it's like a one building for a Cars thing. It's a Lightning McQueen's Academy or Racing Academy, where it's like a huge wraparound screen inside one central building, so it's not actually a ride, but that article calls it a ride and the permits call it a ride. So
it's Circle Vision.
Circle Vision 2.0, exactly. So we'll see what happens. All right, who knows. All right, that's gonna do it for that, and I'm going to actually take that, and we're going to talk about, so a couple things we're going to talk about kind of to wrap up the show. The first one is that I did, in fact, go to Star Wars Land. Sorry, Galaxy's Edge. I went to Galaxy's Edge. And about 24 hours before, and I was going to call you guys, but then I realized that you were probably busy, they sent out everybody an email saying that they could you could add up to 4 more people for your reservation.
Oh.
But it was literally like 24 hours before, and we got there at 6 a.m. Nice. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but there are already changes being made to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit here. So after long lines overwhelmed the Disneyland's newest expansion, people with only reservations occupying the land, Disneyland has quietly began making changes to the way visitors experience the shops, cantinas, and attractions by implementing new systems designed to help spread visitors out more evenly. The goal of the new system is to let Star Wars fans spend more time experiencing the new 14-acre land and less time standing in line. What we're trying to do is to diffuse the long queue so that people don't feel like they have to be there in line to spend their entire day, Disneyland Vice President Chris Theller said. Disneyland continues to make crowd management adjustments to Galaxy's Edge queues outside the popular cantina and the lightsaber and droid building shops that have been drawing hours-long lines during the opening days of the new Star Wars themed land. The wildly popular Ogus Cantina that generated hours-long standby lines and forced Disneyland to turn away patrons on opening day now has a virtual queue. You can utilize a text message system found at several of Disneyland's other popular restaurants that will allow cantina patrons to return later to a shorter buffer queue with a wait time of approximately 15 to 20 minutes. I'm going to talk about that, my experience with that in just a few minutes. And actually some other friends that have had an experience with this. So Star Wars Galaxy's Edge visitors are restricted to a 4-hour time limit, except they're not. So one of the things we were afraid of was that we were going to get swept out by like stormtroopers.
Would be awesome.
At the end of our 4-hour wait, we didn't experience that at all. In fact, when we were there experiencing the land, so they give you different colored wristbands as you check in and then they let you in. So we were the first group of the day. And so our reservation ended at 12 o'clock. Well, 12:05, 12:15, as we're kind of heading out of the land, I realized that I didn't buy something that I wanted. And so we were asking for help, and we were able to find the shop where it was again, because that place is 14 acres and it's huge, but they make it seem even bigger with the way that they terrace the landscape and stairs and little hidden areas, and it's really cool. So when we went back, it was like 5 or 10 after 12, maybe 12:15, and they didn't stop us from buying anything. They didn't say, hey, you know, I noticed your wristbands, the wrist collar. Yeah. And so somebody pointed out that some people were complaining because they were standing in line forever at the canteen, at the cantina and at the attraction, and that they weren't able to go purchase anything. So, of course, Disney's not going to not tell you to spend money. So that was one of the things that that I found there that wasn't necessarily true. So, yes, you're limited to 4 hours. Now it seems that they are thinking about like not letting you get in line or not letting you make purchases or do any of the other stuff, but I can't see Disney doing that because they're like, what, money? Yes.
Yeah, they gotta get that $1 billion back.
Yeah. Oh, and they'll tell you the amount of droids and lightsabers that I saw walking out of that place, I'm pretty sure they made all that money back in the first couple of weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. There's $100 droids, and I saw every other person walking around with these little $100 remote control droids. It was intense. So Star Wars Galaxy says visitors are restricted to a 4-hour time limit in the new land during the soft open reservation period running from May 31st to June 23rd. On most days, this means 3,000 to 4,000 new visitors enter the land every 3 hours at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., and 8 p.m. And if they could continue doing this for the rest of eternity, it would be amazing because our experience was that we walked. So we were the first group of the day, and they did a little countdown to let us in. And as you walk in to the land, they have cast members, or Diane, you would know, residents or inhabitants. So they have the residents of Batuu, which is the fictional planet that this takes place on. And they have like flags like on sticks, but they're not like you know, car antennas. They look like real sticks, and they have like little scraps of fabric. And they say, okay, if you want to go to Ogus Cantina, follow this person with the orange flag. If you want to go to see the Millennium Falcon, and they don't say Smuggler's Run, they say if you want to go visit the Millennium Falcon, follow this person with the blue flag. And so the only downside of this was because you get the band, and the band has an IFR code. And so just the process of scanning. There was no organized line. There was just a crowd of people, and it's just the four people across just trying to scan everybody's band. So that was a little very disorganized. So if you know, a family comes and then they've got their six wristbands, and then you're trying to just the one person trying to get your wristband scanned. So that was kind of a disaster. So visitors who provide their name, smartphone number, and or data pad, as they call it in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and the number of people in their party will receive a text message to return when space becomes available in the cantina. Bar patrons are limited to 45 minutes. Again, not what we kept hearing was they kick you out at 45 minutes and after two drinks. That was not the case. We had several drinks at 8 a.m. and we were in there for an hour and a half.
Wow.
And nobody came and told us to get out. Nobody came. And there's
how many people were you?
We were two, but so.
So it was 45 minutes plus 45 minutes.
Well, yeah, I don't know that's how that works.
You're math good.
Yeah, yes.
No, but were you standing or seated at a table?
We were seated at a table.
Really?
Yeah, but
they were saying that was limited.
So we were seated at a table, but the way that they did it was that they took the smallest. So there was a larger booth at the back, which if you go to our Instagram, you'll see my video that I did from there. And there was a larger booth. So what they did is at this larger booth, they put several small parties.
Right. That's so they put, did us too.
They did that to you too? Yeah. So there was like a party of two, a party of three, and then us, we were a party of two as well. So, but nobody came and it was fun. And we went through the whole loop with Rex and from the power shutdown and, sorry, it's my first time.
That was
and
funny.
Yeah, that was really good. And I loved DJ Rex. He, you'll say lines you recognize from Star Trek tours. And you're like, that was a thing that used to be. So, but it was a lot of fun. And like I said, we didn't feel any pressure there, but I'll talk about some other experiences that people have had with that. So one of the experiences, so our friends went after we did. They went about a week after we did, and they went in on the later time. And by the time they got in, they went straight for the cantina. They were told that there was no more space in the queue. And so even this virtual queue system will fill up eventually. And so then they were told that they were not admitting any more people into the queue, and that the queue is full. So they actually were kind of mad because they didn't get to experience the cantina, which is, it's fun. It's super expensive. We bought a $45 souvenir mug. We bought it looked like a tiki mug. It's got Star Wars stuff on it. Anyways.
You must have amazing garage sales.
Yeah, that's the problem is we don't have garage sales. It's just kind of like, just add shelf space in my house. So there was that. We got the jet fuel drink, which was, I think, one of the best drinks that they had there.
Is that the bubbly one?
No, it's literally just a small, like, funky-looking shot glass that's filled with, it's like a chili liqueur and like Fireball whiskey. And it was really, really good. It was nice. You could actually taste the alcohol in that one. The other one's kind of suspect. But speaking of changes coming in alcohol, David Marley was absolutely right. So they still had, if you listen to our last episode, he predicted that the breakfast drink menu would go away. And when we went, which was about a week or so after they did, they had the oatmeal and the cinnamon roll still, but the drink menu was gone. It was non-existent. The only thing that was there was the regular lunch menu. And if the drink menu was still there, then they were not pushing it at all. And they were offering the regular drinks, and everything comes out of a tap. So nothing's freshly made in front of you. It all comes out of like the same tap. But that jet fuel one, muy bueno. So the $100 droid building experience at the Droid Depot shop will continue to employ a walk-up queue that can extend to 90 minutes or more. I did not get a video of the droid building workshop. I kind of snuck around into the little gift shop around the corner and got video from there because the line wrapped around the building several times. And boy, were people excited to buy those droids. And I was like, every single person, I think I walked by someone that had five of those things on their stroller. And those are each $100. So
that's going to be on eBay soon.
Who knows? Yeah. Well, they've already started. So they used to have like specialty utensils that looked like sporks, but they were like metal and they were really cool. They've already stopped giving those out because people were stealing them and selling them on eBay. So thanks, people that did that, for ruining it for the rest of us. So let's talk about the Savi's Workshop lightsaber builders. Disneyland has begun issuing color-coded cards with suggested return times for Savi's workshop. The system will only be used at select times. At other times, prospective lightsaber builders will wait in a standby queue that can stretch to several hours. Disneyland has no immediate plans to turn on the FastPass system for the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, the flight simulator ride, which was incredible. What did you think of it?
I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, it was like...
Talk about an interactive ride.
Yeah.
That one is really interactive.
The first time we kind of blew it on the first one because you're so engrossed in what's going on. So it's like, it's a little bit like Star Tours, but you're used to this kind of like passive experience where you're just watching the, you know, a movie and you're moving back and forth. But this one, everything that you do, every button that you touch does something to affect the ride. So if you're the pilot, you have to touch buttons and you have to maneuver the plane either front and back. So you're on the right-hand side or you're on the left-hand side. You have to move it side to side. And when you move it side to side, it moves. Wow. The whole thing moves side to side.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. And then you're the gunner in the back. You, every time you hit the button to fire the lasers will fire. It's very, very impressive. Yeah.
Where did you sit?
So the first time I got to sit in the pilot seat.
Nice.
And so I was on the left pilot, but the right pilot is the one that gets to, like, put the ship into hyperdrive. You know, it's like light speed, you know,
it's
and then
fun.
You know, you pull the lever from the movie and you're like, oh my god, I'm sending the Millennium Falcon into light speed. It's pretty
I was an
cool.
engineer.
Were you an engineer? Yeah,
I maintained the ship when it went rogue and got hit by things and
yeah.
It's interesting because to fix the ship, certain buttons light up on your panel and you have to hit the buttons when they light and then they go out. And then something happens, you get hit by debris or somebody shoots you and lights come up again and you have to hit him again. So it's a fine line of balancing your attention to the screen of what's going on in the story versus, oh crap, I got to hit my buttons.
Yeah, you have you everyone
I have
has
a job to do.
Yeah. And the waiting area is incredible. There's got the holographic chessboard and you know the you know crew quarters and you're just kind of like hanging out waiting there and then they give you these cards and then they call your group color, and then when you go your group color you actually get loaded into the Millennium Falcon. And so the whole thing was just and listen, nobody made fun of this whole idea of this Star Wars line more than me, and I am here to say that I was dead wrong. We had so much fun. The cast members or the residents of Batuu, everyone had a backstory, everyone was participating. It was like when Harry Potter Ville first opened, you know, everyone knows
Harry Potterville. Excuse me, Hogsmeade.
Sorry, Hogsmeade.
Yeah, or Diagon Alley.
Or Diagon Alley. It's you know, so it's like when that first opened, and everybody was part. I mean, they still do, but like these are handpicked cast members, and they all have a story, and they're all interacting with you. Like I had my phone out to film the vlog that's going to go up soon, and they were like, "Oh, what are you doing on your data pad?" And it's funny when my wife and I are theater people, so we were interacting with them kind of like in character but not obnoxiously. I said, oh, I'm making a movie to encourage visitors to come to Batuu, and my wife goes, oh, he's from the tourism ministry. And then the girl just like, she like her eyes lit up because she's like, oh, these people are here to like play.
Yeah. Yeah.
To like interact and like, you know, and you know, they know what's going on. So that was fun. We only had one negative cast member interaction, and I don't know what his deal was with, but the like out of the hundreds of cast members there, he was the one dude that was not that just didn't want to be there that day, and it was after. So suckers that we are.
Maybe his wife just left him.
Maybe I don't know.
He was on Batuu work release.
Maybe that's his backstory. So we had bought. So they sell these things. They're gift cards, and they look like galactic credits, but you have to put $100 to get it. On the gift card, and they're metal and they're heavy. They're a really neat souvenir, but you have to put $100 on the gift card in order to get the galactic.
Can that credit. Be used throughout Disneyland?
And you can use it at any Disney park. You can use it on the cruise ships. Wow. Yeah, it's just a gift card, but it's literally it's made of metal, and it looks like a galactic credit.
That's
from the
really
movie.
Cool.
Yeah. So we literally just put down $100, and the guy could not be he couldn't care less. So that kind of like. Fortunately, that was at the very end of our time there.
What was his problem? Like what? Like
he was just so everybody else was like really into the story, and he was just like, you know, he was really into the story and really, like, was like really interactive, and we're like, we'd like to buy this, you know, the galactic credits, and he's like, 100, please. Thank you. Swipe the card. Thanks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No bright suns.
No.
Nothing.
No bright. No nothing. No nothing.
Nothing bright about him.
Yeah. There was, and you know, he didn't greet us with. I mean, sorry. And I'm not here to like rag on anybody. That's not. But these were handpicked cast members. Like they had to like go out and do interviews and stuff for them. And I'm like, okay, you signed up to be here, like. Anyways,
yeah, that's pretty weak.
Yeah, he didn't greet us, you know, and everybody else in the land, you know, bright suns or you know, to the spire or whatever their sayings are. So the one dude, he was like, yeah, he was like
dark moons.
Maybe he's like the understudy and didn't want to come to work that day.
I don't know.
He was pulled from Small World.
Yeah. He's like, man, I was really looking forward to just being on like the Fantasyland like dark rides today. I
miss my suspenders.
I can't deal with this. So the queue for the lone attraction in Galaxy's Edge has stretched throughout the land past Oga's Cantina occasionally. But when we went twice. The first time it said 15-minute wait. We waited about 10 minutes. The second time, which is the video that's on our Facebook page, the live video, we literally walked on. Like, there was no wait the second time. I'm telling you, this reservation system is amazing, and it's going to be a nightmare once the land opens up, because there's not going to be any of this control. It's just going to be, well, there's going to be a little bit of control. When it comes to Florida, I'm going to be really interested to see what it's like. So those are my first impressions of it. It was a really incredible experience. And to close out, I'm going to give you just a few of the tips and tricks. David's plan and diet. We listened to you guys, to your plans. We got there really early. We got there at 5:30 in the morning or 5:15 as they were opening the parking structure. We were got on the tram. There was like one tram running at 5:15, and then they opened the park gates at 6:00 in the morning. And then as they walked the park gates, they kind of like funnel you over to launch bay, and then you're over at launch bay, and then they give you and the whole process was flawless. I was floored, because Disneyland's guest control systems over the last few years have been kind of iffy. But this was flawless. You wait in line. They have a line set up inside launch bay. They have a cast member there. We had trouble pulling up our, so you have to take your ID, like your driver's license. And I had trouble pulling, she had trouble scanning the QR code. And she was like, you know what? It's fine. I saw your ID. Take it. They were just moving people through. Like a lot of times in the past, they would have like, no, I'm going to make this QR code work. Come hell or high water. So then you're able to, then you go upstairs to the shop, and we had heard, don't go upstairs to the shop. It's kind of a trap.
Pull up! All craft, pull up!
Take a piece of action. Green group, steer across the holding sector of each other.
Admiral, we have enemy ships in Sector 47.
It's a trap!
I didn't listen. And
it's a trap.
It's a trap. So We went upstairs, we bought a few things, and it's a good thing we did, because then you go out into the land, out into Tomorrowland, and nothing's open except for the Galactic
Grill.
And you can buy breakfast, but then you're there for 2 hours, or an hour and a half, or whatever it is, until about 10 minutes. We had heard 7:45.
We got ushered over at 7:45.
Yeah, we got ushered over at 7:50. So at 7:50, they take your whole group, and they walk you over to the area, through Fantasyland, over through the Frontierland Trail, and they walk you over, and what amazed me was everybody was super calm. Everybody was super excited to be there, but also really just polite and respectful, and there was no shoving, there was no running. They tell you, like, don't run. They very calmly walk you over, like, they form like a Roman phalanx, you know, attack line, and they just keep everybody behind them. They walk you over, and then they tell you, okay, if you want to go here, follow this person. If you want to go here, follow this person. And they will do a countdown, and everybody's super excited, and then they let you in, and it's incredible. It's absolutely like stunning, just from a visual perspective.
So you were there for how many hours?
We were there for all four. We were there for like 4.5 hours.
And you got to do Smuggler's Run. You got to do the Cantina.
We got to do Smuggler's Run, the Cantina.
Got to browse around.
We got to walk around and explore. We got to have. We got to eat. We got to go into the little shop stalls in the marketplace. And it just keeps going. We went to a little store. We did some shopping. So 4 hours is a perfect amount of time to see, to see everything. Like we spent every one of those 4 hours just, and then when we were done spending money, we were just looking around, taking pictures. You know, there's so much to see, in there. Apparently in Savi's workshop, there is a, Ark of the Covenant Easter egg somewhere in there, like up top.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's just, there's so much to see and it's such a cool place visually. So here are my, so that was my experience and here are my must do's for me. One is take time and explore the whole land. Look at everything. Don't feel like you have to just, oh, I got to go to this ride. Oh, I got to go do this shop. Oh, I got to go to Oga's. Do those things. But once you're done, just walk around and look at how themed everything's all the way to the outside edge of it, which is where Rise of the Resistance is going to be. And that is going to be mind blowing when that's done, because it's just the queue itself is just going to just eat people up, and there's waterfalls and you go to this little wooded area.
It's so hidden.
Yeah. It's, you wouldn't even know it's there.
No. And apparently the building that, excuse me. Oh, that was attractive. The building that houses the attraction is supposed to be as big as like a Costco warehouse.
Yeah.
Full
size X-Wings.
But you can't see it from even, yeah. I mean, they put so much wooded theming. Yeah. It's just, it's concealed.
And there's waterfalls and you go in these little canyons and that's where the queue line is going to be. Yeah. And, you know, it's going to have a full size AT-AT walkers and full size X-Wings. And my friend who I was talking to yesterday was like, and that's not even, that's only what they've shown people. He's like, never mind that what else is in there. He's like, it's just enormous as he's, had some experience with going in there. So my experience, go to Oga's Cantina first, then go over to Smuggler's Run. But if you're not interested in the Cantina, head straight to Smuggler's Run, because what happens with Smuggler's Run is that it goes to like a 90-minute wait right away. But then later on, it'll back off. So if you're not, go to Oga's Cantina anyway. Even if you're not there to get a drink, just go and experience the theming and DJ Rex and, you know, go check it out at some point. Get there early. Rumors are indicating that beginning June 24th, there will be one entrance open at park opening, and that's going to be the entrance over by the Hungry Bear restaurant. The other two entrances will be open later in the day and will be a one-in, one-out system of control. A maximum of 4,000 people will be allowed in the land at park opening. So they're already planning for guest control to come and set up queues and stanchions and all kinds of things as people are waiting to get in. So it's going to be, we said, one entrance, get their park opening, and go straight in if you can. Explore the marketplace, have a Ronto wrap. The dish is found in the real-world Ronto Roasters at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The menu's description reads, it is roasted pork, grilled sausage, peppercorn sauce, tangy slaw wrapped in a pita, and it was amazing. Did you have one?
I did not eat there, no.
Oh, it was so, we didn't get a chance to go into Docking Bay 7, but we did get a chance to have a Ronto wrap, and it was really, really good.
We didn't go into Docking Bay 7. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
Honestly.
So interact with the citizens of Batuu. We had some great interactions. Like I said, everybody's into it. Everybody's like really excited to be there, which leads me, I'm like, how long is this going to last? But that's a story for another time. And then what I would suggest is have the green milk. So we tried both and they're $6.99 each. The blue milk for us was a little sweet and the green milk was a little bit more refreshing. The blue milk is flavored with dragon fruit, pineapple, lime, and watermelon. The green milk is slightly more citrusy with mandarin orange, passion fruit, grapefruit, and orange blossom. So
sounds good.
That's it. That is my review of Galaxy's Edge. Let's talk really quickly about what we're looking forward to over the summer. Obviously, you've seen mine. Galaxy's Edge is going to be amazing. It's also going to be a nightmare because there's going to be tons of people. I just want to go there and watch the chaos. I just want to just sit there with a bag of popcorn and just watch the whole thing go down. I don't even need to go in there. And I'll be honest, my first thought in leaving Star Wars Land or Galaxy's Edge was, I cannot wait to go back. Like, that was my first thought. I was like, I'm so sad that I have to leave now, and then I won't be able to go back until like way later in the summer. So, Diane, you had an experience with Summer Nights at Knott's.
I did, yes. Recently, I visited twice in 2 days. I went on a Friday and a Saturday back-to-back.
Knott's does that to you.
I know, it's scary. and it's not even Halloween. Friday, I went in the morning hours to experience Ghost Town Alive and act with the actors for a little bit and play around and follow the storyline. I was there for a few hours. Very fun. Everybody's really into it, and it's great. I enjoyed taking part and doing activities that they ask you to do, like deliver notes and messages and packages. And I actually took part. I became like an official photographer for the Calico Gazette.
Nice.
So again, I'll ask, how did you find that people were participating, or was it more
absolutely
like, okay,
both kids and their parents?
Okay,
it was really fun. So I was by myself, and I just went along and played with the group, and it was a great experience. But I had to leave early, so what I did is I went back the next day to see how the storyline wrapped up. I went back in the afternoon hours, so I kind of followed the story of the Mayfields coming back into town and Calico being concerned that this group of rowdy people are going to cause problems again. And then they call out, like, they get a notification that the cavalry's coming, and they're scouting the area for a potential place to put a new fort.
Oh, there you go.
So the cavalry does make an appearance, and then I won't give away any spoilers.
I was going to say, you're getting really close.
I'm not going to give away any spoilers. So you have to go and experience it yourself.
Spoiler alert, they're demolishing the bakery to build their new fort.
Yes, they're actually taking out Mrs. Knott's kitchen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Everybody, just kidding. No more rumors.
That would be Buena Park riots.
Right. But you did mention Summer Nights. I believe it's about 5 or 5:30. They bring out live bands all throughout the park. Every stage is utilized with either a DJ, a dance group, a singing group. I know Crazy Kirk is out at the Wagon Ranch, at the Wagon Wheel stage at the front of the park. They had Tanasina there that week. They had the Suffragettes. They've got different bands lined up all week long, every night.
Tanasina's legit.
She used to be at Disney as well at the Tomorrowland Terrace.
Yeah.
So she's very talented. Suffragettes were great. I sat and listened to their two sets that night. The area between the Calico stage all the way to the boardwalk up to where Iron Reef is, that isolated area is basically where this happens. They bring out interactive games for the families to play. They have a version of beer pong called Berry Pong, where red sand pails and wiffle balls.
Nice.
And the kids are out there doing that. That was really, really cute.
I would dominate that.
It was so cute. They have food offerings for the taster cards that are offered at, I think we said, 35 for 8 tasters. So that's a really good deal, actually, because I heard their portions are rather decent.
Nice. Did you partake in any of that?
Not yet. Okay. I'm on my next visit. I plan to, actually. I think Min Brandis and I go. Yep. We might do that, huh?
I actually plan on buying several taster cards this summer.
That's not be a plan. And then they also have other games, like I think it's called Tiki Toss, where it's a ring on the end of a long fish. It looks like a fishing pole, and you have to swing the metal ring to hook it on the tiki.
Gotcha.
It's just
do those
really
games
cute
cost
game.
Extra money?
No, it's all free to play.
And do they get prizes?
No, it's no prizes. I didn't see any prizes being distributed. They also have the bago type game, or somebody call it cornhole sometimes.
But it's something that you can do and participate in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of my favorite things that I noticed is in the concert area where the stage was, where the Suffragettes were playing, there were a few, about 4.5 feet tall, fire pits, like barbecue. I can't even describe it. Open flame, basically. And they sold s'mores kits. And you could get and make your own s'mores right there in front of the concert.
Yeah, Disney would never do that.
I believe that's on the taster card.
It's so cool.
Yes, that is. Okay, we kind of wondered about how
they were doing s'mores. So, to confirm, it's, I guess, on the taster card then. And it was really neat. I was a little concerned having open flames and all the children running around.
It's on the taster card till someone lights themselves on fire.
Right. So I was looking, and there were people standing around and monitoring. So it did look like, and the parents were watching their kids. They weren't like random kids just up there by themselves doing it.
Give it time.
Yeah, I know. There's always one, right? But then they had atmosphere talent that came roaming around. There were these two sisters that ran around. They were dressed obnoxiously in leopard print and muumuu type caftan outfits with big sun hats and glasses. One was named Ivana Drink, and the other one is Anita Drink. Mm. And then there's other fun characters.
Super
there's a roving magician, sleight of hand magician called Jerry Attrick. There is a hippie named Marsha Mello.
All right.
And there's about a dozen and a half characters at, that will rotate during the entire summer. And they just go and interact and mingle and have great characters.
That's really, cool. They've really stepped their entertainment game up.
Agreed. Yeah. I happen to know the director that has done a great job at Knott's right now. Wonderful things.
That's cool.
Summer Nights is definitely messy.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. I want to go with you guys. So let me know when you go.
Yeah, actually, now that we're talking about it and seeing how much is there, I was going to say we should go. We have date night this Saturday. You guys want to go with us? We could all go as a group.
I have to find a date.
Well, no, I mean just John and I are on a date.
We can change the name from date night to just something else.
For us, date night just means we have no kids and we could do what we want.
Well, you guys go. I will be out of town. But,
no.
Yeah, Saturday. I'm going on a cruise.
Oh, cool.
That'll be fun.
But I'm going to go with Chris.
Yes, I was going
to
say.
Actually, you know what? You would have been great to. We were looking for an extra person. You would have been. Yeah.
Next time, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Who looks for an extra person for a cruise?
Well, because someone had to share a room with someone, and there were three people. There needed to be four. So we were like trying to find people, and next time. So that's what I'm looking forward to this summer. I'm going on a Disney cruise to Alaska, and
going
to be super fun. I'm really looking forward to it, especially after the year that I.
Alaska's amazing.
Yeah, I've never been. I've never been on a cruise to Alaska. I've been on a Disney cruise before. I've never been on a cruise to Alaska. So we're going to go hang out with sled dog puppies and take a whitewater rafting trip. And
wow,
You are going to have a blast. Make sure you see the lumberjack show.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
In Ketchikan.
Yes, we're going to see the lumberjack show.
It's so fun.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's going to be fun. But if you guys go on Saturday, do a little live video and stuff.
All right.
Brandis and John, what are you guys looking forward to this summer besides date night? The Saturday.
I mean, the fair is coming. The Orange County Fair is always a huge favorite of mine. I have my routines there to go with the kids on the opening day, go back as a family, go for a date night, go for a girls' night. So I spend a lot of time at the fair. Knott's gets neglected during that time. And yeah, I'm going on a summer break from work.
That's exciting.
I continue to work, so I will live vicariously through my family.
Yeah, again, if you don't work at a school summer break is
it doesn't exist for us.
Lost on adults.
It sucks being a grown up sometimes.
But anything you're looking forward to in the parks this summer?
Looking forward to seeing Summer Nights. Looking forward to the fair as well, and swimming.
Yeah, swimming. We swim a lot. I mean, it's Southern California.
Yeah. And if it's any indication what the last week has been, it's going to be really hot this summer. Yeah.
So just summer stuff in general. Yeah. All that fun stuff.
All right. We'll get a little break from showing up on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. So that's great. So yeah, just remember, guys, we're taking a little break. We'll be back in July. And then we'll be back again in August. And then we'll be back on our regular show schedule come September. So if that is all, we have one more segment. This week, we have a corrections and retractions. And for this week's corrections and retractions, I want to toss it over to Diane. Diane, what did I do?
Well, first of all, you had a great time in Batu. That's what you did. There was one of your video segments, your live feeds, that you were talking about being in the lightsaber building area, and you were looking around. It was actually one of the gift shops and souvenir shops. I'm blanking on the name of it at the top of my head. That's the thing about, just real quick, the thing about Batu is there's no signage in the park.
No.
You don't know where anything is. It's like being in a real inhabited land. There's nothing to tell you what's what.
Well, there's the app on your data pad that didn't work when we were trying to sign into it.
Thanks, Disney. But there is no identifying thing. So when you thought you were in the lightsaber, it's obviously going to be a misconception by a lot of people. They do have lightsabers. Those are the $40 version that are plastic and somewhat durable. But the go ahead.
They also have the ones you can just wear, like the hilt that you can wear in the case.
Okay, I did not see those.
In the front they have the replica ones, so you can get like Luke's or you can get Obi-Wan's, and those are a little bit pricier than the plastic ones. They're like the ones that you can actually wear, like
got it
on your side.
But the place to actually find Savvy's workshop is just outside of that. If you're exiting that shop, turn to the left, go down a small six-step staircase, and there's what appears to be a scrapyard or a junkyard, and that's how they promote it. They say, are you interested in some scrap? And you kind of look at them funny, and she says, and by scrap, I mean lightsabers. That's your indication. There's you would not know it's there. There's a cashier register or two right there, and it's just hidden among scrap. It's so beautifully themed, you would not notice. Mm-hmm. And they have a small corral with a short 3-foot cement wall around it, where it's a waiting area to go into the workshop. And Savvy will come out and be very secretive. And are you here for your scrap? And the way they do it is just fascinating. I was kind of wondering how they did it, because they pull out these drawers and it shows the different combinations of the hilts and how you can create them, and you choose. And the way that they have it set up is they have them pre-set in trays, and they know which one you've chosen by a certain lapel pin that they give you. Mm. So you make a selection, they give you a pin, and then you sit in this little area, you wait, and the experience is very long. It's actually like a 20-25 minute experience to go in and build it, and they do storytelling, and the music is amazing.
Nice.
And I watched it while one of our party did the actual experience and purchased a lightsaber, and they bring out the crystals and you choose the color you want. They say who represents each color, and then they build it. They show you how to build it, and you put it all together, and then there's this huge ceremony. I don't want to get too far into it, but it's basically hidden.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know it's there.
That's amazing. I didn't know it was there.
But it's a really great experience if you can,
afford the 200
funds to do a $200 lightsaber.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's worth the experience if you are a true Star Wars fan.
As I described it last week, I've heard it described as a religious experience.
I teared up, actually. Yeah.
That's
at one point. It was really beautiful.
All right. Well, thank you, Diane, for correcting me on that one. So corrections and retractions. That's going to do it for this week's show. You can connect with Vacationland online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, Instagram, VL Podcast, Twitter, @VacationLandShow, our email, vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com, and of course, our YouTube channel. And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, John. Thank you, Brandis. And thank you, Diane. I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. Once again, my name is Chris Ramirez. I am the host and executive producer of the Vacation Land Theme Park Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you've enjoyed your time in vacation. We will see you in July.